Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening, and it is 2018. Welcome back, listeners. I missed you, and I thank you so much for reaching out and saying, where are you, Dr. Val? Well, I am back. It's February. It's Love Month, and I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Are you there?
Yes, I am, and that's Shirley Carter Powell now, listeners. Yes, I did. I did.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome
we'll be talking about that tonight.
Welcome to 2018. I'm excited about tonight's show. I really am. You know, February is always that month where we're differently, you know, on a different plane and everything. And I'm excited about 2018. This year has started off to be one of the most amazing years I've had in a long time. So welcome, listeners, to 2018 and the Hot Topic. We're kicking it off hot tonight.
Yes, I'm so excited. I couldn't open this year's show without having my bestie, Sylvia Donovan Hines, and her husband, James. I tell you, grace, mercy, and peace. We had to start it off with grace, mercy, and peace. Sylvia, you're choking. Are you there?
I'm here.
You're live from Dallas, Texas. James, how are you tonight?
Blessed and highly favored.
Woo, tell you, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this show tonight. This is Love Month. February is Valentine's Day. You know, one of the things that it's like bittersweet February, because February from Valentine's Day on, somehow, some way, it shapes our lives for the rest of the year. We are such emotional creatures, ladies, that if we don't have a significant person in our life space and we don't get flowers or no one invites us out to dinner, we'll put a damper on the rest of the year. And it just should not be. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're beautiful creatures. We rise up as phoenixes when the occasion rises. So why can't we just rise up and walk in purpose and be that person that God wants us to be? We don't need a man to validate us. We don't need a woman. The man don't need a woman to validate them. Your individual purpose. Persons called for a time such as this. So tonight I have Sylvia. She had been on the dating scene for a long time, and it just so happened that we wind up getting married the same year. So Sylvia, can you share with the listening audience that process? You know, because, you know, we pass a lot of asses before we get to the Boaz.
Only you, Val.
Hey, I'm just saying. We do.
I'm keeping it real. That is very, very accurate. But the one thing that I attribute my love success to is my relationship with God and continuously praying, and also surrounding myself with amazing women of God that would not let me settle for anything but the best. And that just helped me keep focused, and it helped when you get a certain level of expectancy in your spirit, I believe then it attracts that same thing. So it's just amazing the people that I've had, you know, continuously praying for me, and the way that it evolved for James and I to come together. And one of the most divine aspects of us coming together was that we met online. I had just gotten on this site. I'd been on it before and just got on it again, and I think he had been on that site maybe a week or two. So within that time frame, we met. Within 7 months from our initial date, we were married, and our birthday is on the same day. We're exactly 5 years apart. And, you know, it was just, it was something that only God could have done.
Wow, that's amazing. So there's so many women that would say, well, a half a man is better than no man at all. So what do you say to women that are settled and say, you know, I know my man cheats, I know he doesn't treat me right, but at least I got a man?
Well, I think the first thing is I don't think that I could have met James if I didn't really learn to value who I was. Because once you get comfortable with you, then I think you can attract somebody who can appreciate who you really are. When you're looking at like a half of a man or somebody that's got a whole lot of other people, all those other people, all those other situations bring drama. And no matter what the situation is, when you add other people, it gets dramatic. And so whether it's on your end, maybe you're okay with it, but the other person isn't okay with it. So at some point, there's going to be drama. And you know, life is too short to deal with that kind of drama. And you're too special to settle and to have less than the very best. And I believe God desires the very best for us.
Yeah, you know, I waited a long time for my king to come. My husband, Alex Hagen, he is just absolutely amazing. Each day it gets better and better, and it's because I didn't settle. I waited, and I, you know, Sylvia, Shirley, I refuse to just settle for somebody that, and you know, like I said, I dated people, and you know when somebody is just not the one. But when I met my husband, I knew he was the one. Because I was already whole. So I already knew what I wanted. I'd accomplished a lot of things. So it was just, I didn't want a part-time lover. I didn't want a piece of a man. I wanted somebody whole because I was whole. And that's what we have to aspire to as women. We need to make sure that, you know, not raise the bar so high till we raise it so high till no one is going to be able to satisfy us, but raise it to a level where you respect yourself so that somebody can respect you. And that's what it's all about. Now, James, you were looking for your queen. How was that process in finding her?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily so much me finding her as God leading her to me. I think that I just happened to be looking. You know, there's a Bible verse says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I think he just directed me as to where she was, and then we went from there. It's kind of how it was, because I happened to see her, had an interesting profile, catchy title. and the interest went from there and got us to where we are today.
I got to jump in on that, right? Because everything about our relationship was non-traditional. We broke all of the rules. Like with internet dating, the first thing you want to do is sort of have a conversation, which we had talked, but you want to meet somebody in an open public place before you decide if this is going to go further. Our first date was actually Thanksgiving Day, and he took me to a family member's house. The first time that he saw me, he looked at me really funny, and I didn't quite get it. And the next day he told me when he first saw me, he knew that I was his wife.
Wow.
And what does that look like,
James?
Yeah, what does that look like, James? Because we always hear a woman saying, I knew that was the one, but it's different. Like, kind of enlighten us as to your knowing.
Well, it's not necessarily so much knowing. It was more of a confirmation, because we had talked at length on the phone before we met, and you know, we were in a lot of ways in the same place in terms of what we were looking for, what our expectations were. And then when you see the person and you see that the attributes are there, it was just pretty much confirmation of what I was kind of thinking at first. I was thinking that it was going to be good, but, you know, it was confirmation that it was really good. And I had a good indication of, you know, let me tell you this, because I didn't really understand it at first. Pastor told me is when you see your wife for the first time, you will know that's your wife, and I couldn't really get that until I actually experienced it.
Mhm. Wow, thank you so much. And you know, the good part about all of this is we're all still new brides and new grooms, and we're of a certain age. One would say, okay,
right,
after 30, after 40, oh, you're not going to meet anybody. You're too old. Nobody's going to be interested in. Life is over. You may as well just, you know, kind of chill out and wait for the grandchildren to come along, if you have any kids that will bring you grandchildren. And then you just spend your time with other seniors going on trips. So what was that your thought, Sylvia? Did you ever give up? Because you've never been married.
Correct. And I guess sort of in my spirit, especially over a year before I met James, I took on a new challenge in my life. I started taking care of my biological mother, who has Alzheimer's. And I guess it was when I took her in that I sort of felt like I might not get married. You know, it was just sort of this feeling for the first time in my life that I thought that just might not happen.
Wow. That was scary, wasn't it?
It was. But I knew that was a challenge I needed to take, and that was the other confirmation to me that James was the right person, because that never was an issue. James stepped into my life at a point where I was planning a big event for my nonprofit, and in the past, men have been intimidated. He jumped in and was helping me to get people to the event and got somebody to sponsor some of the survivors for my event, and that just was an extra confirmation. This is who I could spend the rest of my life.
Wow, that's awful. I remember first meeting James. I came to your event, and he came strolling in there, and he walked in like he owned the place. I was like, okay, now who is this? He was already playing the role, playing the part. So he was like, okay, my woman is putting on this event. I can do what I want to do.
And you guys tease so much.
Yeah.
And the first thing you said,
it is just such.
Don't you get married
it is
before
such
I
a
get
wonderful
married.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have
what
to chime in on that one. She made the statement
Sylvia
that she said,
something.
"Don't get married." Yes. I'm not
oh,
sure.
Oh, I just said one of the things that you said to me, Val, that night after you met James, you know, just like briefly heard about him, but once you met him, you was like, all I got to say is don't you get married before I do.
Yeah, and you made sure that you were like, when are you getting married again? I said, you know what, I was engaged before you. I said, I was engaged before you, and you was like, but I've never been married before. I said, but it doesn't matter. I said, so you, but it's so good. It's so wonderful to be able to have fun and celebrate
yes.
one another. Now, Shirley, you're a new bride, too. We're not going to leave you out, but because you're our co-host, my co-host anyway, that, you know, you've been married. This is your fifth time.
Yes.
And we've talked about those that are not new to the show. You know it's your fifth time. And so tell us how it was, because obviously it doesn't matter how many times. It's always like it's the first time.
It really is. And
I can tell
you're
different. I didn't know you with the other ones, but I can tell you different this time. I taught you well.
Between the two of you, I have no choice. But seriously, though, it is my fifth marriage. But it doesn't, you know, it's like my past, as far as the marriage part, I have very vague memory of it.
Right.
And it's really,
right.
It's like, okay, I was, but what happened? How was it? You know, it's almost like that point, except for some of the dramatic things. But other than that, I don't really recall a lot of the stuff that went on as far as being married and enjoying my married life.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike you two got married within a year or two of your meeting and everything. But my husband and I, Dwayne and I, we dated. And ours was long distance dating. And before we knew it, 4 years was up on us of dating. And I remember one of the things that I remembered about myself is that I had been divorced for years. And I was, as you may say, settled into being who I am, a single woman. If I never got married again, I could say I've been there 4 times. That's enough. I loved me. I learned to heal from inside out. In the past, I would put on a mask. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm moving on. And, you know, the next thing you know, I'm married again. But after that last marriage, I needed me to be me. I needed to get to know me. I needed to be comfortable in my own skin again. I needed to find myself and be reconnected with who I am. And one of the things I began to do is say, I don't need a man because I have Christ. But I would love to have a physical man in my life. But if he does not see fit to put one in, I'm okay. So I began to feel okay being a single woman. But I love the marriage life. I love to have a mate. Not just to have a mate is saying, I got a man. That part, I didn't want to live with, to say that I got a man. Whether he was with me there physically in the same area or, you know, just to say, I got a man, I got a man. What I said, I'm nobody's lifetime girlfriend. So if someone wanted to date me, they knew that up front. We could be friends. We can go to a dance or something or whatever it may be. But if you want to be in a one-on-one relationship with me, know that I'm nobody's lifetime girlfriend, and I'm definitely not going to be shacking up with you. So with all those things in mind and everything, our relationship began to develop over 4 years. It was long distance. And when I needed my space or he needed his space, we separated. But then that one day when he came to visit and we had a conversation. Now, my husband is a widower. He was a widower. So there was a lot that he had to actually work through in, you know, his wife dying and then developing the relationship to be able to know who he was again. So all of that time, it took time. It took a process. And actually, like I said, before we know it, the time was upon us. Until that day he asked me to marry him, he said, I'm tired. You know, it was the proposal. I've never had one like that. Where we're sitting and talking, and he gives me this whole story about everyone, a lot of people in his life, a pastor, a bachelor party. And me, you know me, I talk, and I talk a lot. But for some reason, it was like the Lord put a gag over my mouth, and I couldn't talk. So I sit there 20 minutes not saying a word while this man, who was very quiet, couldn't stop talking. And then at the end, he said, I'm tired of waking up alone. I'm tired. And I'm thinking, okay, you can come see me anytime. And then he asked me to marry him. So it was like, you took me all over left field and back, but it feels good. It feels like a first time for me. I mean, a new bride. Everything
awesome.
From getting to know his ways and letting him getting to know more about me, because even though we dated for 4 years, it was different. It was not where we was together every day and all the time. But now we are. And now I find myself, I can't just go and do this and that. I got to talk to my husband. I go, wow, that sounds, I haven't said that in years. But it's a good feeling to know that you have someone to share your thoughts with, most intimate thoughts, your pain, your fears, and to be able to have someone to bounce things off and he can say, and he can help make a decision for me that I'm not alone, that I really understanding what helpmate and significant other more than just someone that has no stated investment. And Sif, I love you for the statement you made to me the other day. When I was trying to see what we were going to do for my birthday, I said, I don't know. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen with him. And she said to me, welcome to marriage life. I said, you know what? You're right. I'm like, wow, this experience is like brand new. But it's something that I'm so glad I took, the steps I've taken. And you're right, Val, you know, I do see a difference in me. I really do. And it's good to have a husband that's patient. It's good to have a husband that's understanding. And even when if I want to have a tantrum, which I don't too often, but, you know, that's an old me, but there's sometimes I flare, and he's like, it's going to be okay. It's good to have someone near to say that. And, you know.
Yes, it is.
They're younger than me. Audience, I need to speak to you. They're younger than me. Everyone that's listening, I am 61 to be 62 years old. And to find someone, be connected with someone that God actually had intended for me years ago. But I said,
yes.
There's a reason I did not meet him years ago, because I was not ready for him. And he definitely was not ready for me. So know that when God has someone for you, don't look at the numbers as far as your age. Know that, that you learn to love you and trust God, that someone will be placed in your life. You will find, and it would be so crazy how you meet. And, if you know, don't fight it. And most of all, don't give up. Never lose faith or your hope. I know people that are, more people getting married at 50 and 60 years old and 60 plus than I know that are getting married at 20 and 25 and 30.
That's mm-hmm. true. That is so true.
That's true.
They are. So, you know, I'm like, wow, I saw a lady 78 years old got married. Beautiful. Had a beautiful gown on and everything. 78. But she was a gorgeous bride. And the groom was just smiling like, yes, I got my queen. So never give up on yourself, ladies. Never, ever, because God is always, I've always been one to say God has got someone for me. I tried a lot, and Val, you hit it right. Yeah, I went through some asses to get my Boaz, but, you know, I thank God. I thank God. So, you know, it's marriage life.
Well,
I've
think we discovered true love. We've experienced true love, and love is when the other person's happiness is more important than our own. You see, we always say, yeah, I want to get married. I can't wait to get married. And a lot of us are available. And when you're available, you're used, or you can be used at anybody's disposal. But when you're ready, that king will know, because you have the light and glory of God shining on you, saying not only are you ready, but you're wife material. And that's one of the things that I think has prohibited a lot of younger people from getting married, because there's no one teaching the women how to be wives, how to serve their husbands, how to love them, and, you know, and for the men, how it could be reciprocated, because there's no fathers in the home to teach them how to love a woman, how to treat a woman. Only thing they see is what's on television, if they in their homeboys or homegirls. And that should not be. I think we need to get back to basics. The reason why we're in this place that we are, which is a great place, is because of maturity. We have lived our lives. We've seen a lot of things. We know what we want and what we don't want. So we process things a lot differently, and the patience is there to be the queen that God has called us to be, or the kings to serve us and to love on us and adore us. And this is what we need to be doing as seasoned women that we are now. Pay it forward. Everyone that I spoke a word into that I said would be getting married, because at that point, remember Shirley, I told you, I said when I got engaged, I heard the Lord say that there were going to be a lot of marriages, and that those that I spoke a word to, those marriages will come forth. Well, everybody's basically gotten married or getting ready to get married. So the anointing and the word of God is true. I'm actually going to a wedding in 2 weeks. This young lady I looked into, and I mean, the anointing was just so strong. Those of you who don't know what the anointing is, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, manifested in the flesh, that poured down his Shekinah glory on me, which is called the anointing. So I spoke a word into her life and was so strong. And then a couple of weeks later, she said, I met this person and they're getting married in a couple of weeks. And let's not forget my dear bestie, Denora and Terrence, they got married last year. So Zoel and his wife got married. So this is the season, regardless of what it looks like or what the economy is doing, what the president is doing. This is the time for love, and this is not the time
for you to be worried or stressed out about who's in your life, or on Valentine's Day, if anybody's going to call or give me a card or send me some flowers, is one day. You have the opportunity to build around a lifetime. Start working and investing in you. You, wonderful, magnificent you that has risen up time and time again through many battles and situations and circumstances, you're still standing, you're still here. So use that time to make yourself ready. Don't just be available for anybody that comes by. And men, I'm talking to you too. Don't just settle because, oh, she looks good and I like the way she's switches or twitches her hair or twirl her hair. I like the way she teases me and stuff. No, you want more than that. You want someone that's going to compliment who you are. And not only that, love you through the pain, love you through the disappointments, love you through when things aren't going right for you, be able to support you and minister to you in those midnight hours. Because, you know, we're older now. The flesh is going to fizzle out, our teeth gonna fall out, our hair turn gray, all kind of things will happen. Will you still be able to love in the midst of that? Shirley, speak on that. Since you're older than both of us.
Well, one of the things about it, I'm the oldest, so I think I'm the one with a little bit more experience with the love game. So, what I would speak on is this, when you really love, love should be blind. When I say that, meaning not blind to the fact of letting things go by you that should not be happening in your life, but when you love someone and you truly love them, it's your action. A lot of people go by the physical attribute, and they're looking at those different things or what a person is actually doing for them physically. Love comes from a person giving of themselves, not so much like, oh, he buys me this, he buys me that, so he must love me. No, you need to understand what love truly is. And like I've seen people in relationships and in love and everything, and you may physically look and see and say, well, man, she got teeth missing or he got that missing or that. But when they look at each other, they don't see those things. All they see and what they feel and how that person is willing to give of themselves. When you really, truly love someone, you're going to give of yourself and of your time. And that's more valuable than any dollar that you may have. If you can only cash out, then is it really love? I would say no. If you can give of yourself, in other words, you basically caring, like you said earlier, caring more for that person, putting their well-being before your own, because you're giving so much of you. And your age doesn't matter. And because I'm going to tell you, I'm 5 years older than my husband, but my age doesn't matter. I love that man.
Right.
I love him, and I love him that I give of myself and my time. And it doesn't matter about if I, can go buy him this or go buy him that. That doesn't count. It's how much I think about his well-being. That's what counts in the end. And if you think about your vows, and when it's saying sickness and health and richer or poor, those words mean so much to me. They're words, but they're that glue that holds us together, because I'm committed to him with my all in all. And when you decide, when you get to a point that you have met someone and you're willing to give of yourself like that to that level, but yet and still not put them above God. I don't do that. I don't even put myself there. my number one thing, you know, is that I have to understand, and that person that I'm with have to understand that God is first in my life. And if they can get with that, then we can go to step two. But step one is always going to be there. If you try to mess up that relationship, then we've seriously got a problem. So I give of myself to my husband. I'm submitted to him. When you be submissive, it doesn't mean that I'm his slave or anything. It
right.
means that I am available to him because he's my husband. I have children and I have grandchildren. Now, I'm an older woman. I have 8 grandchildren. But my husband is first. And they've been in my life all my life. And the same thing with my
yes.
family. My husband is first. So when you, there's
well,
things
well,
that
it's scriptural
as we get
based.
Older.
It's,
huh?
Yeah, it's scriptural based, too, that, you know, you cleave to your spouse. But Ann Landers said it best. She said that love is a friendship that has caught fire. And it is quiet understanding, mutual confidence, sharing, and forgiving. It is loyalty through good and bad times. It settles for less than perfection and makes allowances for human weaknesses. And that's so true. What we're describing is the fact that we were friends far longer than we were lovers because, you know, we're just like we're friends, Shirley, Sil, we're
mm-hmm.
good friends. And I don't know a time I pick up that phone and call if I need something in distress that I can't get one of you to do what I need done. And that's what friendship is. It's like being there, good times and bad. Something going on with our children, okay, so what we need to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's friendship. So how much more for our mates?
Right.
How much more? So I think that those of you that are listening in that are waiting for that person to come in your life, allow them to be your friend. Don't look at them as, oh, well, it's somebody I can, you know, have sex with. And meanwhile, in between time, we're trying to figure that out. No, get to know that
Mm-mm.
person.
Right.
You know, what are some things they like to do, and they find out what you like to do. You share intimate situations and, you know, thoughts, things that you would tell nobody but a close friend, and see how that person digests it. See, truth matters. When you can be transparent, I can't remember who I was talking to this a couple of days ago, and I said to them, I said, you know, I've heard a lot of times that I've heard people say that men will marry the woman that reminds them of their mother. But I thought about that. I said, no, that's not true, because they're not looking for their mother. What they're looking for is someone they can trust.
Right.
They want someone they can trust with who they are, because a real mother is a protector. A real mother wipes all the boo-boos, picks you up and say, you can do it, you can make it. A real mother takes care of you when you're sick, brings you soup. A real mother knows how to pray for you and hold you and tell you everything is going to be all right. That's what a man looks for, and that's who he will marry. Not somebody that's not his mother, but we hear that so many times. But what I described was the attributes of a wife, how we should carry ourselves, and vice versa, that man is supposed to be the provider and the protector of the home, and help me to walk alongside so that whatever we do together. I love the fact that Sylvia said, I'm here taking care of my mother, and I met a man that wants to help me take care of my mother. You don't find that every day. So, James, how
no,
is that situation, How did that work for you? Tell us, the listening audience, especially the men, because I know you to be a real man, how that worked in with you, and you work from home, your business, and you have children as well. So how did that work together for you?
Well, the ours is sort of a unique one in that Jan, my mother-in-law, has Alzheimer's. So there were challenges with Alzheimer's. My grandmother had Alzheimer's, but I was in another state when she developed Alzheimer's, so I didn't know a whole lot about it. Sylvia is, without a doubt, a very special person in that she is uniquely qualified to work with Alzheimer's, and it was not her first experience with Alzheimer's. I'm sort of in a learning mode in terms of how to deal with it, but it hadn't created marital problems for us. I think it's because, you know, I lived all my life around my parents and grandparents, and we always kind of respected them, so it hadn't hurt our marriage detrimentally. And you know, Jan goes to church with us, and I'm more learning about Alzheimer's and what all of it entails. But it is a good experience. I can see that it's better for her mom to be with us than to be in a nursing home, because right now nursing homes, until something changes, that's just not the best care for your relatives. And that's easily seen by what's happening in them. But I think it's all worked together for good. I can tell you we're more of a family because of us three. You know, the more you've got in the family, in the household specifically, the better it is. So I see advantages with it. And I've learned a lot from my wife in terms of how she is handling it. But I see pluses definitely involved with it. And I don't think, a lot of people think that because you have your mother-in-law living with you, that it would be a difficult scenario, and it's not really.
Mm-hmm. How has this situation changed you?
You mean as far as Jan living with us?
Yeah, how's it changed you and as it your relationship with Sylvia? How do you feel about her?
It hadn't really. I appreciate her more, and we kind of had a discussion about that last night, so to speak.
Right, that's what I wanted to know, the appreciation.
Oh, no,
yes,
no.
I wanted to hear that.
No, it gives me a total, and that's funny, I said this last night, it gives me a total appreciation of her more so, and that I see, you know, Sylvia shows a lot of different facets, but that one is, she is phenomenal. She is nothing other than phenomenal. And how she handles a whole lot of things, and dealing with her mom is just one of them, and I see that it's a blessing really, because I know that had that been my mom or somebody else in my family in the same situation, Sylvia would have done the same exact thing. So
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel special for having Jan here or anything. Because, you know, as we all know, that can happen to any of us. And how we handle it is very important in terms of being able to deal with it. And I see it as a plus. I really do. I see it as a plus. As far as our relationship, it definitely has been a positive. Yeah, it has been a positive experience.
Well, James,
wonderful.
I think you just described love.
Okay.
I think you just described love. Love gives of itself. Love is not selfish. Love is not puffed up. Love, as I said, is more willing to you do for other persons than yourself. And your admiration for Sylvia is just wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. And I'm so glad that you found each other.
Yeah, and let me interject one thing while we're talking about it. My family loves her, boy. My family, my family loves her. What happened when we left my mom's here? You can come back anytime. My family loves Sylvia. Can do no wrong. My family loves her.
Was at your wedding.
We went to visit an aunt that Sylvia had not met. When was that? A couple of months ago. And my aunt Ola loved Sylvia. Boy, she loved her to death. And I know I got a jewel. I mean, I know that without the shadow of a doubt. And it's just, as I said, it's confirmation. It's basically confirmation.
Yes, I tell you, for those of you who are listening and you're hearing our stories, regardless of what you went through, you know, celebrate the life that you have right now. Hopefully it's a good life. And if it's not, from this day forward, you can live your dreams. You can be happy. If you never meet anyone, if you never meet a James or Alex or Dwayne, you can still live a full life. But you have to invest in yourself. You have to participate in your own rescue and not rely on someone else to make you happy. You're always going to be your greatest asset. So maximize it and utilize it. And guess what? While you're out celebrating and doing you, that special person will come upon you and be a part of your life. And you can have that authentic love, I guess I'll have to settle with this one. You don't want a full-time, part-time lover. You want a full, all-around lover. You don't want somebody that just want to meet you halfway. You want to really have fun. Let that person be your friend, your confidant, someone that you can share things with and you know, peel back the layers. We carry so much baggage with us. And forgive your past. Forgive your past. Give yourself permission to live, laugh, and love again. Give yourself permission. You can't change what you've been through. You can't go back and reverse anything. But only thing you can do is celebrate you right now. And that's what we need to focus on. So we'll be on the air every Tuesday, 8 p.m. this month. We're going to be talking about relationships and love. And hopefully you will tune in and join us. So, you know, we can give you some tips on getting you to the next level. And if you're in a marriage that's a turbulent marriage, just kind of pray. I guess Shirley and Sylvia can be pray. Prayer works.
And then
you need to realize what your part is, because it takes two to tangle. Take
and
ownership
that's what I was gonna say.
Of your part.
Yeah.
You know, how did you get there? How did you get to
the
situation that you're in now and own that? And once you own it, then you're able to make a change. But as long as you're in a situation that's turbulent and you keep pointing the fingers at what this one did and what that one did, instead of saying, okay, how did I add to this situation? And what was my part and how can I rectify it? And it will begin with forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key. That's where it's going to begin and that's where it will end. So that you can flourish into that flower or that diamond in the rough that Sylvia so magnificently talks about in her presentations. I haven't heard that in a long time, Sylvia.
That was because I was too busy being found. Now that I'm found, I'm going to let people know that diamonds don't beg.
Diamonds don't beg.
Yes. Sylvia does a message called Diamonds Don't Beg. And, I mean, it just so can you just give a little snippet about that, Sylvia?
Well, I mean, it's a word that God gave to me as a single woman. I was in a situation where a relationship was ending, and I just thought that I didn't know how I was going to make it. And I was sitting at my computer, and I was reaching for the mouse of the computer with one hand and my cell phone in the other, and the Lord just had me put my cell phone down, and an audible voice. He said, "Diamonds don't beg." And as I set my phone down, the next thing that he spoke in my spirit, "And you are a diamond." And I looked up diamonds, and for the first time in my life, diamonds became real as I found out that diamonds are one of the hardest substances in the world, and they develop under pressure. You know, they come from a very dark substance, and they're valuable. They increase in value over time. They're precious. They're treasured. All those things that God wants us to know that we are. And more than that, because we are diamonds, we should not have to beg for anything.
Amen.
Ooh, yes. So that was a good nugget for tonight. Shirley, we're almost out of time. You have any closing remarks?
I just want to say, to add to your statement that you were making about praying and finding out where, you know, getting to know you and in your situation, whatever you're going through, if it's in a marriage or relationship and everything, you have to get to know who you are and reconnect with Christ and allow him to guide you. Now, you know, pray by all means, but you got to work. You got to do some work. You can't just get on your knees and pray and walk away and think he's going to fix it. So you got to do your part. And first of all, admitting and communicating. And don't say I or you. It's a we thing. And go from there.
Well said. Thank you for sharing that. And I just want to remind those of you that are waiting to meet that special someone. Yes, you're available, but make yourself ready. Make yourself ready. You know, the bridegroom cometh. You know, we're supposed to be preparing ourselves for the hereafter, and we're making preparations now. That same preparation that we make waiting for the King of Kings to come is the same preparation we need to be making for that person to come into our lives. That means we got to clear out all the clutter in our closet. How can we love freely another person when we don't fully love ourselves? How can we share our life with someone when we have so much baggage and holding us down? So clear out the clutter and be open to the possibilities. And the only way that you can be open to the possibilities is if you start working on you. Put in the work, as Shirley said. Got to put in the work. It's going to take work in a marriage. And your patience will be short if you don't put in the work now. Shirley said she's been cooking. I told her, I said, I know her husband is nice and round. He'll be good for Thanksgiving.
Leave my honey alone. That's my honey bunny.
My exact words to her is, I know that neck is thick. But
she knows I love
the work. Shirley did a lot of preparations. Sylvia did a lot of preparations. I did a lot of preparations. I worked on me. I enjoyed life. I traveled the world. I did what I wanted to do. So now, so when my king came into my space, I was ready to receive him because I was already empty. I had done everything I wanted to do. And now I want to share my life with him. And he wanted to share his life with me. So therefore, we walk hand in hand because he's my best friend. And I know he would never hurt me and I would never hurt him. You know, I came out of a domestic violence situation. So trust was a big factor for years. But when I met him, I had already cleared the clutter out of my closet. So I was free to trust and love again. And that's what we have to be. We have to do in this dispensation of our lives. You know, my son Daniel is engaged. He's getting ready to get married in July. And it is just wonderful to look upon him and see that because I took the time, I have four children, two boys and two girls, and because I took the time to love on them and pull back the layers of the domestic violence, 19 years of domestic violence, it was a long time in it, so it took layers pulling back, coming out of it. And I'm so glad that watching him, he knows how to treat his fiance. He does things. One of the actions I look at my children, they do everything that's important and serious. I can see me in them. And that's what we have to do, our kings and our queens that are waiting. You know, love on your children. Teach them the way to go, pay it forward, so that when you meet your king, they'll already be self-sufficient where they can move on and live their lives without entangling and being in yours. And that's what that's what they did in the old. That's what our grandparents did, great-grandparents, our ancestors. That's what they did. They taught us. So this is what we have to get back to, especially when things are as they are. With this administration, we have got to get back to basics, building the families, because the family is what we're going to rely on when trouble comes, not to be a burden, but to lift that hand up in the midst of the storm. This has been wonderful coming back in February 2018 to be with those of you that have called me. Again, I thank you for your emails. It has been greatly appreciated. And I wanted to take a longer break, but because you called, because you pushed, because you cared, I thank you for caring. I'm back on the air, and I appreciate you so much. And those of you that are in the South Florida area, I will be speaking at the Faith Center Monday, February 12th, the ladies. I will be speaking to the ladies February 12th, 7:30 at the Faith Center, 5555 West Sunrise Boulevard. And you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com if you want more information regarding that. It is a free event. So those of you that are in the area, or if you're not in the area and you have family in the area that are female, and encourage them to come by and be my special guest on Monday, February 12th. Sylvia and James, thank you so much for being my guest February 2018.
All right.
I appreciate
you so much.
Thank you. And, Sel, I have to have you back to elaborate more on the diamonds don't beg.
Okay, I'd love to do it.
Shirley, I love you. Take care, and we have to, and probably next week we could pull Dwayne and Alex in.
I hope so.
I know Alex is listening. Love you, honey. Okay, love you guys.
Dwayne,
take care,
guys. All right, love you guys.
And we will be back. Tuesday, 8 p.m. Thank you so much. Good night and God bless. And remember, love affects our past, our present, and our future. Love is an emotion, a gift given to us from God, and it should never, ever hurt. Good night and God bless.
Good night.
Good night and happy birthday, Shirley.
Yes, happy birthday, Shirley.